puberty, apocrine function kicks in, body odor begins, sebaceous glands start to go into overdrive, and our little hormonally driven child begins to get acne. Also begins to get secondary sex characteristics. In terms of skin and skin appendages, the main thing is hair. What places for a man? Facial, axillary, and pubic. For a woman, axillary and pubic. And then also the areola on a woman will begin to change. The breast tissue underneath the skin also changes, but I guess that's not technically skin, so we're not going to talk about it here. Any questions? All right, now, on the other side of the developmental scale, we have the aging adult. Now, you get atrophy of skin structures. What does the word atrophy mean? Loss of size. So remember what we said, if you work out your muscles, they will, what's the word? Hypertrophy. So they get bigger. If you stop working out, your muscles will atrophy. They'll get smaller. So the skin structures get smaller. There's a loss of subcutaneous fat, which is what leads to... Now, what makes our skin nice and smooth? It leads to wrinkles. Because you've got the same amount of skin, but you have less fat, making it nice and round. At the same time, you also have a loss of elasticity. And you also have a loss of collagen. The three of these things together is what really gives us wrinkles. Now, loss of vascularity. What does that do? Well, it does deprive the skin of some of its oxygen. What does it do to a person's complexion? They become more pale as they grow older. What happens to their ability to heal? It goes down. Now, because of the collagen, are they more easily wounded? Yeah. So they're more likely to get skin sores or breaks because of the loss of collagen. And at the same time, they can't heal as well, so they're much more at risk for getting sores and infections. And the sores that we usually associated with elderly people and their skin, what do we call those? Say again? No. We're talking about actually breakdown of skin. Breakdown of skin. With old people. Old people become less active, so they sit down a lot more. Bed sores. So we call those decubitus ulcers. So, yeah, DEC, UB, ITUS, decubitus ulcers. So a decubitus ulcer is caused by the force of gravity pressing on the skin and depriving it of oxygen to the point where it starts to die. Now, how many of you are tired of sitting in the position in which you are sitting? And you'd like to stand up, maybe get a little blood flow to that area. Go ahead, stand up. Okay, come on. You're like, I can't, I'm too tired. Oh, that's good stuff. Now, you're young and active. It's very easy for you to move around. And if you get uncomfortable in one position, but you feel a little uncomfortable standing up because, you know, that's kind of freaky, but what is everyone going to think about me? You could just shift to the other butt cheek. Or you could slouch. Or you could sit up really straight. Now, use any number of things you can do to release the pressure on that skin. But an elderly person who's lost a lot of their strength function and maybe is a little demented doesn't necessarily have that same capacity to move to relieve those pressures. So they're much more likely to get skin ulcers. You can go ahead and sit down. And once they get those ulcers, because of their loss of vascularity, it is much more difficult to heal them. So one of the main things that we do as nurses in the hospital is prevent ulcers. And the major way we do that, make sure that patients are either active, ambulatory, and if they're not, we turn them manually. Not. It sounds really easy, but you know, really, the more you get into nursing and you start doing all this complicated and technical stuff, eventually you come full circle and you begin to realize that it's all just the basic stuff. People get adequate nutrition, adequate exercise, almost everything else kind of begins to fall into place. And this is one of the really big things, keeping people active as long as possible, making sure they're adequately nourished, is one of the most important things that we can do as nurses. Now, imagine for a moment that the skin is broken down. What do we need to repair that wound? What does your body need to repair a wound? Okay, it's an inflammatory process. We just learned this morning about wound healing. What happens? What gets laid down along that wound? That, okay, scar tissue, connective tissue, and what's the major component of that? Protein. So, in order to heal a wound, we need protein. And where do we get protein? From food. So again, going back to making sure a person is adequately nourished. All right. So people who are aging are at more risk for infections because their skin is thinner and more likely to break. They're at risk for skin breakdown, ulcers, and they're also at more risk for bleeding because they have less strength and they have less cushioning. All right, now you were asking, Anthony, about skin changes, about people who look leathery. All right, now, as we get older, you get this loss here, right? Now, sun will increase the loss of elasticity, and there's a condition called solar elastosis, where the skin kind of has this kind of strange scaled look to it. I'll show you a picture in a few minutes. At the same time, it's being dried out, and you've got less moisture in it because you've got less fat layer, and you have less blood vessels. So all of that together makes a person's skin look more leathery. So you can think of every time you go out in the sun, what you're doing is artificially aging your skin. Now, how many of you think you look really good with a tan? You go out in the sun, you get that, you know, and your skin, you just look like you're glowing afterwards. Yeah. And your skin looks so smooth afterwards, too. You want to know why? Not because you killed it, but because the sun has caused an inflammatory process in your skin. What's the result of inflammation? Edema. So you're actually using swelling to smooth out your face. Now, what's the problem with that? It's a short-term solution. Because once it goes away, you actually look worse. And you do it enough times, you get wrinkles more quickly. The best way to avoid wrinkles is never, ever, ever, ever go out in the sun. Okay. Second best way is to stay well hydrated. Drinking and in lotions. All right. Some other skin changes. There's two skin changes that happen to elderly people, particularly as they go out in the sun, and those are called keratoses. So a keratosis is an overgrowth of keratin cells, and there's two different kinds, actinic and seborrheic. And we'll show you pictures of those in a minute. Seborrheic are not dangerous, but boy, do they look ugly. Imagine, if you will, that you have a mole, a rather large dark mole that sticks out. Now imagine that that thing gets 10 times bigger, and it looks like it's a piece of tar just stuck onto your skin. That's what a seborrheic keratosis looks like. There can be hair or not. Now, an actinic keratosis just looks like a crusty spot on the skin. The problem with actinic keratosis is that they can eventually turn into cancer. All right, before we show you pictures, let's run down how we actually assess skin. So, first thing is asking the patient questions. You want to ask about previous history of skin disease. Have you ever had any skin diseases? What kind of skin diseases can you think of? Okay, cancer. Eczema. What's eczema? Scaly skin. What else can we think of? Psoriasis. What's psoriasis? It's not fungal. It is an autoimmune disease, so it's a hypersensitivity reaction, and it causes large red scaly welts all over the body. Well, if a person has it bad. Our media guy here, one of the media guys that here at the university, his name is Jim Porter. He's a big guy with red hair, and he's got psoriasis all over his arms. So you'll see him occasionally across campus. You'll go, that's what he's talking about. Autoimmune disease. Can it pass? No, you can't. It's not communicable. No. What other skin diseases can we think of? Hives? What else? Okay. Bullous. Bullous. It's just a word meaning big blisters.
I can't remember that.
Yeah.
And what's
can leprosy be?
Now, leprosy is actually a nerve disease. Imagine for a moment that you feel no pain. Would that be good? Who here would like to feel no pain ever again? It sounds like a good thing, right? Yeah. But pain is useful. It tells us that something is wrong. I had a patient who had diabetes. One of the things diabetes does is it starts to kill off your nerves. So he had very little feeling in his foot, and he stepped on a tack. And he was walking around with that tack in his foot for 4 days. He finally found out about the tack because he bled on his wife's white bathroom rug. And so she made him go to the doctor's office. His foot, the bottom of his foot, was literally filled with gangrene. So naturally, we sent him across the street to the emergency room, where I think, I can't remember if he got an amputation or not, but he definitely lost a lot of the foot. So that's how leprosy works. It kills your nerves. You can't feel pain. You get hurt. You don't realize it, so you don't get help. And then you get gangrene, and it has to be, it either becomes deformed or it has to be amputated. So it's not really a skin disease, but it can lead to skin infections. All right, a change in pigmentation. Now, we're not talking about, well, yes, I have been more successful in tanning lately. What we're talking about is has there been a change on a person's skin? So has a patch of it changed color? Changes in moles. Have they had a change in a mole? What are we trying to look at with these two items here? What are we trying to screen out? Skin cancer or pre-cancer. Excessive dryness or moisture. Pruritus. What is pruritus?
Itchy.
Yeah, itchiness. So pruritus is itchiness. Rashes or lesions. What's a lesion again? Any structural change. So it's not just growths. If you cut yourself, that is a lesion. Medications, any medications they take that might affect skin. Want to ask about hair loss, changes in nails, environmental or occupational hazards. What's the number one environmental hazard in Florida?
Sun.
Now, I think we have someone originally from Ohio in this room. Now, in Ohio, what do they notoriously have a lack of?
Sun.
And in fact, if you travel from Ohio down to Florida, on average throughout the year, you are now getting 20% more ultraviolet radiation. Yes. Now, how many of you remember the ozone layer? You know the hole in the ozone layer? You know what the increase in radiation was projected to be from that hole? 3%. So they were talking about how life was going to end and the world was going to end. There'd only be cockroaches left. Well, if 3% was a big deal, there'd be no life in Florida at all. But as it turns out, Florida's a pretty good place to live, except for all you New Yorkers. So, sun in Florida is the number one environmental hazard. Self-care behaviors. How does a person take care of their skin? Any wounds? Any nail or foot problems? And do they have diabetes or PVD? We haven't talked about that one yet. What's PVD? No, I'll give you a hint. P is peripheral. Peripheral vascular disease. Now, there's two types of vasculars that we can have diseases in our periphery. Arteries and veins. So peripheral vascular disease could mean arterial disease or it could mean venous disease. Either way, it can lead to sores and ultimately cell death in the feet. And then tanning behaviors. Now, what's safer, going out in the sun or tanning in a salon? Neither. But actually, sun tends to be safer because it's harder to overdose yourself on the sun as it is tanning. Just a couple extra minutes in the tanning bed can be the equivalent of extra hours in the sun. I used to work as a lifeguard at the Breakers a long time ago. And these silly people from Ohio and other places would come down to Florida and stay at the Breakers for vacation. And they would always, always, always not put on sunscreen the very first day. I'm like, how long are you going to be here? 4 days? A week? You should wear some sunscreen because you're awfully white. You're kind of blinding me here, even through my sunglasses. They're like, no, I want to really make sure I get sun. I'm like, look, it's Florida. You're going to get sun every day. Even if it's a storm, the sun will be out later. You know, even if it's cloudy, you'll get a sunburn through the clouds. Yep. Nope, I don't care. So the very first day, they get sunburned. You know what they spend the rest of their vacation doing? Not getting sun because they can't go out in the sun anymore because it hurts too much. Yeah, so, you know, people are just stupid sometimes. If you've got 4 days to tan, put 45 on the first day. If you don't get enough sun, put 30 on. If you don't get enough sun the next day, put 15 on. And then if you want to get sunburned the last day, go ahead. But at least you won't have ruined your whole vacation. That means, I don't know, crazy people.